we are privileged to have as our guest speaker. Did you guys know that? Is that why you're... Oh, okay. I think Jordan's family might have known he was speaking today. It might be why they came. They don't often come to hear me, but that's another story. Okay. And you didn't come to hear me today either, so without a whole lot of further ado, we're going to ask Jordan to come up. He's going to be reporting on his mission trip in Brazil, and we were able to partner with him. Our missions ministry not only supported him, but I know many of you individual families and did do that as well. And we appreciate Jordan so much and the heart he has for God and for sharing the message of Jesus with others. I'm going to pray with him, and then we're going to turn him loose. There's the remote. Okay, don't lose it.
Do my best.
I want to thank you, Father, for Jordan. Just what an inspiration he is to us. God, for the heart that you've put within him, for the faith that you put within him, for the desire, for the eagerness, again, just to share Jesus with those around him. So, Father, I pray that you would bless him with a special measure of your Spirit today as he presents, a story that is more than a story. It is part of his story, part of what you have done within him and through him over the past couple of years. And we just thank you, God, for the work that he's been able to do, an instrument of yours he has been. Give us attentive ears and hearts to this message. May we be encouraged and inspired, as we always are, whenever we're with Jordan. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, before I really get started with how Brazil was, I first want to thank you guys so much for supporting me, both in your prayers and financially while I was in Brazil, and especially those who wrote letters while I was there. They are such an encouragement and unexpected thing. Part of it because the mail took quite a bit of time. They're pretty late. But it was just such an encouragement to know that my church family was behind me 100% and was thinking about me and has such a love for me and what I'm doing. And I also want to especially thank my family, both those present and not present, for supporting me as well. As I'm sure I stress you guys out going out of the country and doing things abroad. But I just want to thank this church family so much for all that you guys have done for this trip that I just spent in Brazil and also the ones in the past. I also was wondering, Steve, if you were thinking that I did such a bad job last time I needed to come again to redeem myself, or if I did a good job and you want me to come again. So, okay. Well, since the last time I was here, a lot's changed. My hair's longer, I'm a year older, I've graduated college and am now working full time. And I lived in another country for 9 months, and a lot's changed about me. A lot is different, but I'm definitely hopeful that it's for the better, and I'm very, very glad to be able to share some of that today with you guys. And so, without further ado, I want to tell you a little bit about Brazil. In Brazil, I learned a lot, not only just about myself, but about God and about just his will in general for the world. It's something that day to day is kind of harder to see, and then when you look back on it, you're able to see just how big of a way you've come. And so it's been good that I've had a little bit of time before I came here to speak with you guys, because it's given me a lot of time to think and a lot of time to process all the things that I did in Brazil and all the things that are going on now and just that transition period. And so there's a lot of things that are similar about Brazil to America. Of course, there's a lot of differences. The language, they have a slightly different history than we do, but there's a lot of similarities. But because it is in a different culture, because they have slightly different ways of living, I was on high alert a lot. Everything I processed, everything that I saw, I knew I need to not just take it for face value, but to really think about it, because I went to school to be a missionary. And so they train you to not just assume things, but to truly, you know, take your time to think about it, to ask somebody what some of these things mean if you ever have a question. But I think I might have done that to the extreme. So a lot of things that I could have taken for face value, I might have overthought. And then things that I did take for face value, I also, you know, made the mistake of not really thinking through. But all in all, the point is that I learned so much from this trip. And it was the first time I had been outside of the country for more than 2 weeks at a time. And so I really got to understand and see the value of family and friendships, and how, you know, Paul or the apostles really felt when they were sent out to different places. And it was just a very transforming process for me. And so the purpose of my time in Brazil was to learn, to be just a learner, because it was part of my requirements in order to graduate from college, to spend time in another country as like an intern. But I also was partnered with Christian Missionary Fellowship, which is a mission organization that is pretty big, and it started from my college quite a few years ago, and they were the ones who took care of my finances and did the training and debrief of my trip. But that was my purpose in Brazil, just to learn. So it was very simple, pretty broad, but that was the main point of my trip. And then everything else that happened was definitely an extra blessing. And so my first host family that I had was in Campinas, São Paulo. And on you guys' left is my parents, and that's Rosa and Salvador, and then that's their daughter, Marcela. Marcela, I had met the year before because she spent some time at my church in Kansas that I attend, and she was just learning English. And so when it was time for me to go to Brazil for my internship for my school, she volunteered to have me live with her and her family there. And they were a great host family, very, very welcoming, loving people. Definitely not perfect, but neither was I. But they definitely gave me a very great experience and really helped me to understand and transition into the culture. And I lived with them for the first 6 months of my time in Brazil, and so they're the ones who I knew the most and the longest when I was in Brazil. This is the pastor that I worked with. Vinicius is the one in the white t-shirt. His wife, Olivia, is in the blue t-shirt. I'm in the green t-shirt. And then that's his mother-in-law and his brother-in-law on the side. And that family, they really took me in as well. And they taught me so much. And I can honestly say there are things that I'll remember forever about them and how to be a minister. And when I worked with Vinicius' church, Koinonia Christian Church, I learned a lot of things. And it wasn't so much of learning things that I didn't know, but it was learning how to actually do them. Because there's one thing to learn the textbook version, and then there's a whole other thing to really learn how to do it in reality. And this is a picture of the church when we went out to eat after one of the services. Because in Brazil, traditionally, the church services are at nighttime because it's usually really hot in the daytime, and because Brazil is a tropical culture and the way they just have constructed things, most churches are a little smaller and they are non-air conditioned. They have a lot of windows and ventilation for things to go through. So in the daytime, it'd be very hot. to have a church service and so many people together, so they have them at nighttime where it's cooler in the day. And so, yeah, we went out to eat. That's actually one of the first times we had fellowship together when I was in the country. And most of those people in the picture are the ones that I worked with the most inside of that church plant that I worked in for the first 6 months of my time in Brazil. Other things that I did with that church is I led Bible study. So that's the picture on the top, is the Bible study group that I would do once a week. And I had a translator, and that's Alexandre, the brother-in-law of the pastor. He would usually be my translator if Vinicius wasn't my translator. And it was a pretty fun time. And I really started to pick up the language towards the end of my time in that area in Campinas, São Paulo. And so for some of the Bible studies, I would try my best to speak Portuguese until there be words I couldn't understand, and then Alexandre would pick up wherever I left off. But I have a couple funny instances where I was completely certain that I was just saying everything correct, and I was like, "You guys get that?" And then everybody just shook their head like, "We didn't understand a word that you said." And so that was kind of humbling, but being able to lead the Bible studies and them giving me that responsibility was a great honor and great experience that I had. We did weekly meetings as well. I would meet with Vinicius, and he would disciple me, and we'd do planning of what we were going to do for the rest of the week. We went to pastors' conferences. We would visit other churches. Vinicius was a part-time pastor, so during the day he would work, and so he would be pretty busy. But for the most part, those were my responsibilities, helping set up with the church services and just really helping him out however he would want me to help out with. And for the last 3 months of my time in Brazil, I moved to a more southern state. It was Campo Largo, Paraná. And when I moved there, by that time I had a good amount of language already learned. I had done 6 weeks of language at an actual Portuguese school. And I lived with the next pastor, Pastor Fernando and his wife, Roselia, and then their son, Leo. And because I lived with Pastor Fernando and his family, my relationship with them was much more intimate, and I got to see what full-time ministry was like 24/7, which was a very big contrast, and it was something that I was hoping to learn, but it ended up being a whole new experience and challenge for me that I'm very glad that I was able to experience, but at the same time, there were some hardships with it. And Leo, he was a very fun person to be around. We had at the beginning a very like timid relationship, but by the time I left, he was pretty sad that I'd leave. But he's a pretty proud kid, so he would act like he wasn't bothered about a lot of things, but. But he really did miss me, and I miss him too. But there's a lot that I learned just within family relationships. Like with Marcella, my host sister, I mean, I start to appreciate and see how interactions with my own family are. For example, Marcella taught me a lot about women in general, which is a very good lesson to learn. But learning it in another culture, I just learned a lot of ins and out things to do and not to do. And I wondered, like, I would have days where I'm like, how did I not know these things or see this with my own sisters? I think I just pass it up, don't pay attention. I don't know. But when I was in Brazil, I had a rude awakening with a lot of things of just how to work with and understand women. So that was a good lesson to learn. That was very unexpected because I. Oh, yeah. I know. I wasn't expecting this to be a lesson I'd learn on my mission trip. I was like, I wasn't going for this type of ministry, but it was something that, you know, I think a surprise God had for me. And Leo, he taught me so much about kids, and I've always loved working with kids and wanting to work in an orphanage or do youth ministry. And he taught me a lot in just how to have patience and how to really love even when people are hard to love and things like that. I mean, I'm not married, I'm not a father yet, but he really gave me a lot of practical things to look in mind for and to be prepared for whenever that day happens. And with Pastor Fernando, most of the things we did were kind of the same, but I had a couple other responsibilities. I helped lead worship, and so that's me playing the cajon. It's like a box drum. Never played it before. I'm not musically talented, but they said, hey, there's a cajon. You're new. Just go ahead and start playing that. And I was like, are you sure? They're like, oh, you'll be fine. And so they had a lot of faith, or they just would be good at hearing me do the best I could. But that was a cool experience and a new thing that I'd never done before, just learning how to be willing to serve and be willing to be used when there's an opportunity and a need, even if you're not the most quote-unquote qualified for the job. And the top picture is a picture of our worship service, Pastor Fernando doing the communion meditation. And the bottom picture is another pastor and his wife that I would visit frequently, because Pastor Fernando was very intentional about going out in the community and talking to anyone who was in need. He loved to do house visits, to just pray with you, to do a Bible study. And so that's kind of what I really focused on when I was with him. And it was really cool, because I learned how to be very intentional about seeking those who are hurting, seeking those who are in need, or just having genuine fellowship with someone and not just seeing them on a Sunday at church, but to go out and check up on how they're doing. And so those are some of the things that I did with Fernando, and it was just a great experience being able to live with him and his family and learn from them. And so for some of the deeper things in my time in Brazil, God works in mysterious ways. We've heard that being said a lot. I know I have, at least. And when I was in Brazil, there are a lot of things that happened that I just would take and say, I'm sure God, you're in control of this. I don't understand it at all, but I have trust in you that you're going to handle it, because I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for you. And one of those things was the first 3 weeks I was in Brazil, I had a really good friend from college pass away, and then also a family member of my host family passed away. And although death is all over the world, I really wasn't expecting that to happen and for it to be so close to me. And so I went through a lot of things that I would need to, communicate to people and vent, but it was my first 3 weeks in Brazil, so my Portuguese isn't good. There are only so many people that knew English at the church, and it was really a lot about my pride and not wanting to inconvenience someone, or just not wanting to seem like I needed help. For some reason, I was in a mentality where I was in Brazil because I was trained to do that. I'm in Brazil because I'm qualified. I tried to do a lot of things on my own that I didn't need to, and it was through that experience that I learned the hard way how to really give things to God and not try to deal with things on your own. I also learned how important family and friends are and having those relationships, because eventually I really had to be vulnerable and open up and share my feelings. And I don't know if it's just a guy thing or what when it comes to things like that, but I really did grow from that. And with having the challenge of wanting to comfort my host family through their loss, but not having the words because I don't know the language, I really learned how to pray for peace for families that are going through grief. And so although it was a very hard experience, there's so much growth and lessons that I learned through that. And it's something that many people can get in the mindset of, well, you know, why did this happen? God, why did you this? But if you really are able to look at it in a more objective view, or just after you go through it, you can really see how God was there the whole time and how there is so much growth through the hard situations and the hard things that life brings. And also just feeling homesick and things like that. I also learned how to work through those types of things and really be able to know that I'm still loved, that I always have people wherever I'm at. And even if there's a time where I don't have a physical person next to me, that God is always faithful. And it was so easy to say that or know that when I was here in America, but then when I was actually there, I really had to walk the walk, not just talk the talk. And so it was just a very very big and impactful time for me, pretty early into my time in Brazil. And there's some other lessons that I learned, like when I lived with Pastor Fernando, and just learning the cost that ministry have, how it takes a lot to be able to balance both your family, your congregation, your time, all these different things that, I mean, really get overlooked sometimes. And once again, it was something that we get taught at my school, at my Christian college, but until I actually saw it and lived it, it was very hypothetical. And so I learned so much of how to teach proper doctrine and theology to your congregation that have such a history of these false doctrines. That was a big thing in that particular church that I worked with. And some of those were even his family members. And so it was a very sensitive thing, and something that you have to be very patient and slow with, and very fervent in prayer, just to have a heart for the people in your church to know Christ and to know the truth about him, but knowing that it can't be overnight, but that it's a process. And so, Steve, I definitely have a whole new appreciation to what you do and how difficult things can be, because there's not always a simple answer, or it's not always black and white for how to go about these issues in the church. Also, I just saw the different conflicts and things within a church. Like in Brazil, there's a big movement of the prosperity gospel, where the preachers will just preach that, I mean, you're supposed to be very wealthy, you're never supposed to be sick, only good things are supposed to happen to you, but if you ever have these bad things happen, then that's because you're wrong with God. There's something that you didn't do. And if you, you know, pay this amount of money, or tithe this amount, or if you say these prayers, then everything will be good for you. And so I got to really see that and see how the pastors react to that type of a challenge. And the issue with that was so many people were buying into it, and so many people were thinking about themselves, that there leaves a big gap for the poor in Brazil. And so there was a lot of interesting conflicts or interactions. For example, when I went to Brazil, and as I was there, I was so welcome. They're a very hospitable culture. I don't think there's a place on earth that's quite as welcoming as Brazil. And I learned about hospitality and to really take care of the sojourner because of their example. But it seemed like it was only for the outsider and not for their own people that were in a different economic class. And so it was interesting to see how the pastors and the church is trying to change that and to be more loving towards their own people instead of just someone from the outside. And that was just a very interesting a specific example of things that I learned about that culture and even about our own culture, because it would make me really reflect on what I've been taught and what I do myself in my life and how I'm being as Christ-like as I could possibly be. And so, all in all, I mean, I got lots of advice from Pastor Fernando and Vinicius. They were two of the greatest examples I think I could have had in Brazil. And so I really wanted to make sure that the lessons I learned from them and the advice that I got, that I can carry that over and remember, hopefully for the rest of my life, because they really did a good job of letting me grow at my own pace and not forcing too many things on me, but just letting me accept responsibilities as I was ready for them. And so I had so much personal transformation as I watched the transformation go on in the people and the churches that I worked with. And unfortunately, I still struggle with things like selfishness and being prideful or judging. I still am disobedient. But that time in Brazil transformed me so much. And the good thing is that that's not the end of the story. I'm not just described by the things that I do or the failures that I even have. What really defines us, not just myself, but us in general, is Christ. He gives us our identity. And if I had more time, I would have preached an entire sermon just on identity and how we need to find our value and just who we truly are in Christ. Because when you go to another culture and when you experience things that you've never experienced, you really do struggle with who are you and searching for just how you identify yourself with. And so that's one of the biggest things that I did learn, is just who I am no matter where I am and who's around me, because Christ is the one that I should always be exemplifying through my actions and through my words. And I want to share a Bible verse with you, because Paul says it best in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12 through 17. Paul writes, "I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me trustworthy, appointing me to his service. Even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. Now, to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." That passage just... every time I read it, it encourages me, and it really gives me a conviction at the same time, because so often I feel like I am the worst of sinners. So often I look down on myself or beat myself up for making mistakes, for not living up to the examples that I have set for myself, or that someone else might have even set for myself, or set for me. But right here, this passage just says how we are these sinful people. We will make mistakes, but it's not about us, and that's not how we're to find our identity. It's because God had the grace and the love for us to send his son to die on that cross, and that we could live these new lives, not for our own glory, but for His glory. We all have a designed purpose. None of us are mistakes. None of us are worthless. God wants us to experience the full joys and wonders of this world. But these will come with hardships, because I learned firsthand that it's within the hardships that we truly grow the most. It's within these hardships that the hard lessons are learned that will be with us for the rest of our lives. It's where we see that hope in the darkest of places. It's where we see His peace in some of the rockiest of storms. And it's really where we see His unfailing love in the face of persecution. And my life is not for my own glory. I don't want people to ever, you know, give me a compliment for me. I want it to all be for the glory of God. Because I want my life to be an example of how God used an ordinary person, just a normal man, to show and spread His abundant grace and love for those who do not know Him. And that's how I would love to be known for, because if it's just about me, I mean, you're following the wrong person. It's all supposed to point towards Christ and to lead to Him. And so that's really all that I had for you guys today. And if you have any more questions, I would love to answer them. And I just thank you guys for this time that you guys gave me to speak to you today.